Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad to be with you today. We pray that you will take a little time with us out of your busyness to gather around the Word of God, and let's take a long, hard look at what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and ask ourselves a very personal question: are we enjoying in our personal life and our spiritual life and our daily life all of the blessings and benefits that flow out from what Jesus has accomplished for us at Mount Calvary? Praise God, friend of mine. Every time I take another look at the cross, I just fall in love with Jesus all over again. And there's a confidence that rises up on the inside of me to believe when I pray, to come into His presence and enjoy this fellowship relationship that is now offered to every child of God because of what Jesus did at Calvary, to draw close to my Heavenly Father and to feel Him drawing close to me. Praise God. Well, this is exciting today. We're going to have a brand new subject today. But before we get into it, I want to thank everyone there at the radio station at WMAF and the listeners that were alerted that if they were to pray for me. I had a physical challenge September the 11th, and it was a stroke. And I have been so healthy all of my life that it caught me completely by surprise. I had no warning, no symptoms, but when it comes, it's there, and it leaves you in a helpless condition. I personally fell against a wall and found myself on the floor, unable to move or get up, and God just sent my son, who heard the crash, that lives in a garage apartment in our home, and he came and alerted my wife, who got me to the hospital. And a friend of mine, I want you to know I was helpless, but I was not hopeless, because I do have a Father in heaven that I can call upon in the name of Jesus Christ. And others begin to pray as well and intercede for me. And this wonderful God that we serve intervened in my life circumstance. And He didn't do it because I'm a minister. He didn't do it because of any virtue in me that warranted His mercy and grace flowing to help me in this time of trouble. He did it because of what Jesus has done at the cross. This is a wonderful, wonderful truth and privilege to know that we have access to God, and God has access to us because of what Jesus did as He hung on that cross at Mount Calvary. And we're going to talk today about the tearing of the veil, an open door to God's presence. Amen. We're going to read the narrative of Jesus' crucifixion, part of it, out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And if you have your Bibles, would you please turn there? And while you're turning, on behalf of myself, my family, my congregation here in Tampa, Florida, thank you to all of you that prayed for me. I don't have words to describe what it means when you're so helpless to know that people are interceding for you, and to have God answer the way He did. You know, my speech came back almost immediately from being slurred, my face from sagging, hallelujah. My left arm and hand was able to grip very quickly, and the recovery surprised everyone at the hospital that the recovery from this stroke was so quick, and it's all the result of people praying, interceding for me. Means more to me than a check for $1 million, because you can't buy these things with all the money in the world. But there is a God in heaven that now allows us to call Him our Heavenly Father, who listens when we pray and call upon Him. And something happened at the cross, and what God did to confirm what happened at the cross is what we're going to talk about in this Bible study. The tearing of the veil of the temple, an open door to God's presence. In this narrative in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, I'm going to begin reading at verse 45 to put a context for our text today. It said, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let's see whether Elias will come and save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. I want to talk to you about this veil. I want to read about it from Exodus chapter 26 and verse 31 through 34. "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubim shall it be made, and thou shalt hang it upon the four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tacks, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place." This loose hanging, 4-inch thick, many believe, 60 feet by 30 feet curtain, was there to keep man out of the most holy place. That thick, imposing veil in the Holy of Holies symbolized that which separated sinful man from the holy presence of God. The only way sinful man could ever approach a most holy God is by means of blood. The veil shut out and kept out everyone from any further approach. The curtain hung there in the temple as if to say, "This far and no further. Keep out. Danger. Stay away." The only individual who had permission from God to enter in to the most holy place was the high priest, and he could enter in the veil only once a year on the Day of Atonement, with the blood of sacrifices to sprinkle on the veil and the mercy seat. No one could approach the Lord God without passing the brazen altar with the bloody sacrifice. The huge veil kept everyone out of the most holy place. There it was still hanging in the temple on the day that Jesus gave up the ghost, literally when he died on the cross. Friends, sin is a separator between God and man, leaving us without God and without hope, because all of us have sinned, the scripture declared, and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 59 makes it very clear. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness." The veil of that temple was a constant reminder of man's sinfulness and unworthiness to approach the presence of a holy God. the door is shut tight with a warning, do not enter, keep out. Jesus was crucified about 9 o'clock in the morning. At noon, a terrible thick darkness hung over the earth and over the cross and Calvary. After 3 more hours, Jesus cried out, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It's now about 3 p.m., time to offer the evening sacrifices in the temple. And the linen veil is suddenly torn apart from top to bottom. Something so wonderful occurred on the cross that when Jesus uttered, it is finished, in the Greek it's one word, tetelestai, and it means paid in full. Sin's debt that we could never pay was paid by Jesus on the cross. And God, to show that this sacrifice had been accepted by Him in our behalf, tore that veil supernaturally from top to bottom. The veil that had meant stay out, keep away. You're unworthy to come into the presence of a holy God, now has been torn. God is saying, come near. Come here. Praise God. Come into my presence. What Jesus did on Calvary still astounds me. It takes me back that he that knew no sin became sin in type that we could become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus didn't just go to the cross and God just forgive us and leave us just sinners saved by grace, but he's brought us into his royal family. And he says, now you are the sons of God. And now you have access to my presence. You can enter in to the Holy of Holies. You can come behind the veil because now there is no veil separating, because the sin issue has been settled when we repent and receive Christ as our Savior. And that great chasm that sin has created has been bridged by Jesus' own sacrifice. His body, the veil of his flesh, praise God, has caused that veil of separation to be opened to you and to me. That's why prayers were heard for me from Christians who are imperfect. None of us are perfect enough to walk behind that veil and not fear the repercussions of people with flaws like you and I, and coming into the presence of a holy God. Ah, but friend, through the blood of Jesus, we can confidently know that because we have access to his presence, we have an ability to pray, not to a distant God aloof in his heaven, but a God who invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. I know something as a minister about operating rooms, although I had no surgical procedures. But I know about operating rooms. It's a foreboding place, almost sacred. The air is filtered, pure, and clean. The walls and floors are immaculately scrubbed. The instruments are sterilized. A sign hangs over the entrance in one form or another telling unauthorized persons to keep out. The only people allowed in the operating room are trained physicians, select hospital personnel, but they too must be scrubbed and sterilized, wearing disposable hospital gowns with protective masks and foot coverings. In order for the operating room to fulfill the function it was made for, it must be free from contamination. Even the smallest of germs can infiltrate and infect the very person who is there for help. It's a special place, almost sacred, as I said, set apart for private usage of the most delicate of duties, the saving of human life. The Holy of Holies was a similar type of place. It was the cleanest, most sacred place on earth. It was off limits to everyone except the high priest. And even he could enter only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he had to first offer a sacrifice for himself, and then a sacrifice for the people. This was a large tapestry veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. However, when Jesus died, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. The veil that had warned, "Keep out," but now the tearing of the veil announced, "Come in." Since the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all of sin's contamination, we are now free not only to enter, but to enter with boldness, to enter with confidence. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. Let me read this from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. It said, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Now, we're not talking here about the temple as in still in the Old Testament sacrificial system being in effect, and we're able to go behind that veil that they rehung and rebuilt. We're talking about spiritually coming into the presence of a holy God, and in essence coming into that holy place spiritually with boldness. See, when we pray here upon the earth, we do not pray to a God who is so distant, sitting aloof in his heaven. We pray to a God who invites us into his very presence. Amen. I don't know about your church experience, and I'm not talking about emotionalism now. I'm talking about spiritual presence or the manifest presence of God. When two or more of us come together in his name, Jesus declares, "There am I in the midst of them." Not only can we enter into his presence because we can go behind the veil, but he can come from behind the veil and fellowship us and manifest himself to us. Praise God. There's a big difference in going to church and assembling in a building somewhere in the name of Jesus Christ and having God manifest himself to you and to me. The Bible said in his presence there's fullness of joy, and at his right hand there is pleasure forevermore. Praise God. Amen. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh, "and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near. That's the message of the rent veil. Let us come. The Bible said, "Come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need." How can we come with confidence? Because we're coming because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And to know that God has honored that sacrifice to such a degree that the veil was supernaturally rent. God said, "Now you can come into my presence, because now your sin debt has been paid in full." Hallelujah. I'm going to read this from one paraphrase. Really, it's the Amplified. Let me read it to you. Listen to it. "Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by power and virtue in the blood of Jesus, by this fresh, new, and living way which he initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain, the veil of the Holy of Holies, that is, through his own flesh, and since we have such great and wonderful and noble priest who rules over the house of God, Let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty or evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. Praise God. Amen. There should never be a moment of doubt that God will accept us and receive us because we come into His presence, because He invites us there, because He's accepted Jesus' blood sacrifice for our sins. Praise God. And that great gap, that great chasm that sin has created between us and a holy God, Jesus, through His own flesh, has bridged that great gap. Years ago, this is a true story, an incident occurred in Paris, France. In a back street of that city, a fire broke out one night. It was in a narrow court, and the houses were built with upper stories overhanging so that the top stories almost touched. In the midst of the night, a father sleeping with his children was suddenly awakened by the smoke. In a moment, he jumped out of bed. He swept away the framework of his window, and he literally, hanging by his toes and ankles, reached and laid himself over between the two buildings to the window of the opposite house. But he had forgotten the children when he saw their terrified faces. As he looked back, without a moment's hesitation, he placed his foot against the sill of the house where he had launched his body forward from and grasped the window of the burning house, thus making himself a living bridge between the two. One by one, his children crawled over his body to the other side. But as the last one was passing, his father cried, "Quick, quick, I can't hold out much longer." No sooner did the cheer of the crowds announce that the last child was over than the father's hold relaxed. He couldn't hold on any longer, and he fell, a lifeless corpse. This is but a faint illustration of what salvation that comes to us poor, helpless sinners through Him who bridged the chasm, though it cost Him His precious life. That's why the songwriter wrote, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The veil of Christ's body was torn. Jesus put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself." According to Hebrews 9 and verse 26, Jesus took His own blood into the greater tabernacle in heaven to appear in the presence of His eternal, endless life before God and the Father as our righteousness through faith in His blood. He is an eternal, ever-present, living witness that our sin debt has been paid in full at the cross. The unbroken secrecy of 1,500 years was now open for all mankind to view. The way into the holy presence of the living God is now open for everyone who will come to Christ and through coming to Jesus, come to God. The invitation is, "Whosoever will may come." God shouts, "There are no secrets. There's no secret way into a deeper experience with God." The writer of Hebrews speaks of the veil of His flesh, referring to the human life of Jesus offered up in sacrifice to God. The way of approach to God has now been opened by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, according to Moffat. He says the writer of Hebrews allegorizes the veil here as the flesh of Christ. The body of Christ had to be torn before His blood could be shed. which enabled him to enter and open God's presence for the people. I like what F.F. Bruce notes. If our Lord's flesh and His blood alike denote human life offered up in sacrifice, then He who entered the heavenly sanctuary through His own blood may equally well be thought of as entering there through His flesh. The sacred writer looked upon the veil as symbolizing our Lord's human life presented to God when He suffered for sin once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Praise God. A.W. Pink says this about that event. By the blood of Jesus, this is the meritorious cause which procures the Christian's right of entrance into the holiest, the place where all the tokens of God's grace and glory are displayed. The blood of the Jewish sacrifices did not and could not offer such liberty of access into the immediate presence of God. The blood of Jesus has done so. Praise God. God has enabled us to approach Him in a spirit of liberty. Can you imagine what effect that torn veil hanging there in the Holy of Holies had on that Passover celebration the day Jesus died? The door is open. Come in instead of stay away. Praise God. Luther said these words, learn to know Christ and Him crucified. Learn to sing to Him and say, Lord Jesus, You are my righteousness. I am Your sin. You have taken upon Yourself what is mine and given me what is Yours. You became what You're not, so I might become what I was not. What a wonderful exchange. Was there ever such love? I'm telling you, I believe today, right where you are, right now, I believe that God is reaching out to you because the veil is torn. I believe God is calling you to come to Him by coming to Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Him right now, right where you are, I'm so glad to have my speech to tell you from the Word of God that He loves you, that He gave His Son for you, that He bids you to come to Him just as you are, to repent of your sin, receive His forgiveness and salvation, to plead the merits of the blood of Jesus, and to know that every sin is forgiven when you receive Him. And now you can pray to a Father in heaven, and you can do it with confidence, and God can help you here and take you there when you draw your last breath. Oh, friend, come to Jesus today. Come to Christ today. Come and drink freely from this fountain of life. Praise God. And if you're a Christian today, stand in your standing. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Come behind the veil and enjoy rich fellowship with your Heavenly Father and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, friend, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansed with power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace and power? Will be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Yeah. that our stain was sin,
and he washed in the blood.